Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. Master Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz. Of course, with me, the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, the mind and booker behind the NWO and WCW's 83 weeks of dominance, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing excellent, JP. How about yourself?
Not too bad. So today's topic in today's episode, the Night of Champions, a.k.a. the final Nitro ever. This would be the final broadcast. It was held on March 26, 2001, the special edition of Monday Night Nitro, because they were building it up like all the championships were on the line, all the titles at the line, and it was at the Boardwalk Beach Resort in Panama City Beach, Florida. The last ever Nitro before WCW goes out of business gets a 3.0 rating. Man, they would kill for that today. WWE SmackDown would kill for that today, and that's their number one show. But think about that. I mean, is that pretty crazy? Like, okay, WCW is dead. They're on their way out. 3.0 rating. If that was around today, they'd be the number one company.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you how hot the business was, even though WCW had dropped a lot. And about this time I was gone, they still did a 3.0, and I'm sure they weren't happy about that. You know what I mean?
Yep. So it just goes to show you, it's like, wow, 3.0 is great. Well, not compared to what WWF was doing.
Right. But, I mean, how many people were watching wrestling back then?
So you were sent home. You have a contract, but you're not coming to work. You're basically getting paid to sit at home, and you're right. Fishing, and you're having fun. While all that's going on, does anybody alert you or tell you, or are you paying attention, like, wait a second, Vince, WCW is going out of business? Like, when do you find out about it?
I found out a couple of weeks before when it first transpired. I think it was Gary Justin that told me, and I was shocked. But they did not want wrestling. So I look back now and I say, oh, yeah, didn't matter if they were doing tens. They didn't want it. And they sold it to Vince. I think if Eric had gotten that company, that it'd still be in existence today.
Eric and Fusion Media Ventures had the deal in place. I think it was for $65 million. They had the investment. They're ready to do it. Part of the deal was that it had to be on the Turner Networks. And like you said, Turner Networks maybe didn't want it on their properties anymore, which sounds crazy if you're getting 3.0s. I guess that's the way it was. But if you think about it, $65 million and then you only sell it for four, that is an embarrassingly bad deal. Whoever the executives are should all be fired for the worst management of a deal ever in history, no?
I've heard Brad Siegel, the head of the entertainment division, the lawyer Vince used to do the deal with Brad was Brad's roommate in college.
Stu Snyder, yes. And he only worked there for like 3 months. I think it was January, February, and the whole month of March. And the deal was struck March 26th. So it's like, okay, this guy literally was there because he was friends with Brad Siegel. There must have been some sort of backroom deal going on.
I don't like to cast aspersions. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
But there had to be a backroom deal. Are you $65 million? To $4 million? If you were selling a car and a guy came to you and said, I'll give you $20,000 for this car, and another guy came up to you and said, I'll give you $100, which one would you sell to?
It just didn't make sense to me.
Fusion Media offers you $65 million. Bischoff's going to set the take over, and the whole thing was, we don't want you on our network, so they couldn't use the property. They didn't kind of foresee, like, all right, the video library is worth so much money, because Hogan probably would have bought it. He had enough money to buy it for $4 million. Somebody else would have bought it for the video library. Nobody thought about that. Fusion Media Ventures, the whole thing was that it was going to be a constant show. I mean, they were going to recreate Nitro, and they were going to have the Big Bang and all this other stuff. It was just crazy to think, like, wow, $4 million got this deal done with Vince McMahon when that is so undervalued, so underpriced.
Was it 37 years of tape libraries they had?
I believe so. I'm trying to think how far back they had, because I know they had all the Turner stuff, I think, from Georgia, too.
And it wasn't just one program a week.
Pay-per-views, yep. And you're buying out the company that kicked your ass for two straight years of all their stuff that was better than your stuff. It's mind-boggling.
Yep, yep. Well, I'll give you an example of something. They bought Championship Wrestling from Florida from Mike Graham for $1 million.
Wow.
So who knows? And I'm sure they've made it back on the videos time and time again, right?
I think they made their money back on like the first DVD they put out because they did so well with all that footage.
Right, right.
And Vince McMahon became like the curator of pro wrestling. That's all this stuff that he has. I joke around, I like to say that about myself because I have so much stuff. But man, Vince, think about the libraries he has and the years of footage on top of his dad's stuff, his stuff. Then he gets all the NWA stuff, WCW. Crazy to think how much hours of footage he has.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So no more competition, I think, is the first thing I think of when I think of when WWF buys WCW. That can't be a good thing, right? No competition?
I think that hurt Vince because he was really on his game then.
With him, though, it's like, okay, he's the king of wrestling now. Do you think that he took his pedal off the metal, if you will, if he took his foot off the gas? Because it is completely different when you're literally fighting for your life and you're about to lose the company, and then you're doing everything against competition. And then when there's not competition, there's got to be almost like a sigh of relief.
He climbed Mount Everest, and he looked around and said, there's no more big mountains to climb.
Are you happy, though, at home? Because you're still getting paid, right, even though they were bought out?
Yeah, I had an employee's contract with TBS.
So it's just interesting to think, like, WWE, they might be preparing to make a yearly trip to Panama City Beach, Florida, make this like a spring break thing. I know they did spring break out before. They've been at Club La Vila before, but this is a little bit of a different venue. I don't think people know or maybe realize it's in Panama City Beach, but this was technically the Boardwalk Beach Resort, which is by Club La Vila, not necessarily the same place. But still, like, that could have been a destination for them. It was different than what WWF was doing. It had kind of different things going on where they try to create a different flavor. They were almost going after maybe a younger skewing viewer. It just seemed like something different. And then this finale, which we didn't know was the finale, just kind of pops up because it's really called the Night of Champions because Bischoff dubbed it that, saying that all the titles will be on the line and there were supposed to be all these returns and this and that, and that there's kind of the rebirth of WCW, or maybe go into a small hiatus and then rebirth it a month later. But all this gets wiped away. Forget about the spring break and all this other stuff. It just gets wiped away. I thought it was a cool idea. Did you think that was like a cool idea?
Yeah, looking different. It was a great venue.
So here, the Night of Champions is going to happen. There's actually 7 matches on the show throughout the night. And the show is going to get kicked off in pretty much a pretty major way. But it's funny when you kind of look at like the Raw side of things and what was going on over there. So eventually there's going to be a simulcast. But if you watch Raw, it's funny. It's like, what are they doing? Are they talking about it? And they're talking about how they bought WCW. They're talking about how there's going to be a simulcast. They're talking about how there's going to be this gigantic show. And then we see Jeff Jarrett on the monitor. Band to double G, double O, double N, double E, gone, making fun of Jeff Jarrett. Obviously, right. He had his problems from a couple of years before with him going to WCW. He lost to China, but he made sure he got paid the money he was owed. They owed him like $250K. I might be a little off on the number. I know Jeff has mentioned for him. He made sure he got paid. And to start off the show, McMahon, literally from satellite feed on their end, was making fun of Jeff Jarrett. I was like, it just, you know, a little shocking. He was real. I mean, Jarrett doesn't return until 2017, so he was right. He was being serious. Jeff Jarrett's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of shocking. But Vince has a long memory.
Throughout the show, he'd have little vignettes talking about little different things at WWE, and kind of taking his shot. Like, you're right. He definitely has a long memory because he was kind of ripping a lot of the guys.
You know why I think Ivan Koloff isn't in the Hall of Fame?
Why?
Because he worked against his father in Roosevelt City with the IWA.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it is kind of odd that a former WWF world champion, the guy that shocked the world and beat Bruno Sammartino, ended his reign, isn't in the Hall of Fame. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy that he holds grudges, but he definitely does. And Jeff had no idea. He thought that may be part of an angle where they may be bringing him in, but nope.
And what we all forget is you say sports entertainment or pro wrestling is another word that brings up business, the wrestling business. And that has to be taken into consideration.
So this show, pretty unique. All 5 of WCW's major championships, of course, excluding the Hardcore Championship, were defended this night. And 6 of 7 of the matches were contested on the show. The babyfaces seemed to won. So it seems like a kind of go-home happy kind of ending kind of thing, almost like a house show where all the babyfaces, for the most part, go over. Is that different than what you would think for a final show, or is that right booking, like all the babyfaces kind of, or most of the babyfaces going over?
Knowing that this is your last show, if you're not going to bring a bunch of those guys over, you don't want to do anything too controversial. So I think it was the right thing to do business-wise.
Throughout the show, they're doing little different interviews for WCW wrestlers. They're kind of giving their honest, out-of-character responses to the selling of WCW. Pretty damn shocking and just unbelievable if you just think about it. It's like, wow, they're going to interview these guys about the sale of a company that is a shoot. They're really interviewing these guys about like what they think. Not cold, but I guess trying to get their raw reaction, get their raw opinions. But I don't know, is that a good thing to do? It's like, hey, by the way, your company was sold. Who knows if you have a job? Let's do an interview with you about it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So really, it's funny, like the way they start the show. Flair has a promo. It's really great, talking about, hey, Vince McMahon, you may have bought WCW, but you didn't buy me. You didn't buy the Steiner Brothers. You didn't buy Sting. You know, you didn't buy the history. You don't own us. Like, really, really good heartfelt promo where he basically says the main event is going to be him and Sting one final time.
Yeah. You can't expect anything less than that from Rick. Rick's heart revolves around the wrestling business, and I'm sure that's how he felt at the moment.
So the first match, a title for title champion versus champion, Booker T, the United States champion, defeats Scott Steiner, who's the WCW champion with Medeja. It's a good match, but it's short and sweet. It's only about 5 minutes. So So Booker T is now the WCW World Champion and United States Champion, which means that Scott Steiner didn't sign with WWF and Booker T did. Also, to note, Scott Steiner has a badly injured foot at this point. And you could pretty much tell in the match, but I mean, he was injured and he wasn't being moved over. So I guess that's a smart thing to do. You just have Booker T go over and be double champion.
Yeah, and his work is solid.
The next match, the Filthy Animals, Rey Mysterio Jr. and Billy Kidman defeat 3 Count, Evan Courageous, Shannon Moore, and the Young Dragons, Kaz Hayashi and Young Yang, who of course is Jimmy Yang, in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender to the Cruiserweight Tag Team Championship, which will be held later on the night. Filthy Animals, Billy Kidman, and Rey Mysterio win that one in about 4 minutes or so. So they're keeping most of these matches short, because of the simulcast they're going to have later on with Vince McMahon and him acquiring WCW. So they are keeping these matches, but they do keep a lot of the Cruiserweight flavor, I guess. Like, if it was really them booking the show, because the rumor is that, I guess, it was Bruce and Shane McMahon, and they had a couple other guys in WWF. I guess maybe Jerry Briscoe and Pat Patterson were down there to kind of talk to the troops and really kind of book the show, but they were booking the show with the help of Terry Taylor and with the help of people that were in WCW at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes sense. You know, they know which way they're going, what they want. The company has been sold, so it's under new management.
So the next matchup, Shane Helms, who's the Cruiserweight Champion, defends his title and defeats Chavo Guerrero Jr. in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So like I said, they're just keeping these matches short and sweet. They are pretty good for the most part, but there's not much to them. The announcers, Schiavone and Hudson, I wouldn't say taking digs, but there may be a little bit of unrest or unhappiness, and seem like Hudson may be a little bit more positive about WWF, maybe Schiavone not so much, but I don't blame them.
It's hard. You get in the car, you get off the plane, and you think you're going to do this again next week, and you're not.
Yep. The next match up, the Natural Born Thrillers, O'Hare and Palumbo, defend their tag team titles, defeating Mike Awesome and Lance Storm. 3 minutes, 20 seconds, another really short match.
Yeah.
Sean Stasiak is in the next match with Stacy Keibler. He defeats Bam Bam Bigelow in 1 minute, 30 seconds, which is basically the only heel of the night to win is Stasiak. A little bit of chicanery, a little bit of cheating involved, but still very, very short match. And Stasiak gets the win over the legend, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right. And Bammer had been a big star in the WWF with Lawrence Taylor, right?
Yep.
So it was a good win for Stasiak.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So then the Filthy Animals, who won the tag match earlier to earn the Cruiserweight Tag Team title shot, Mysterio and Kidman defeat Helix Skipper and Kid Romeo in about 5 minutes to capture the WCW World Cruiserweight Tag Team Championships. I mean, it's pretty remarkable for Ray, what he's been able to do.
Very remarkable. And I think any luchador will never get where Ray got. Ray started a precedent for them that I'm not sure any luchador could ever come close to repeating what Ray has done and for the length of time Ray has done.
Totally agree. He's the man. So the main event of the evening, Sting defeats Ric Flair in about 7 minutes and 20 seconds. But it's pretty interesting to think the biggest feud ever in WCW, Sting versus Flair, on the first Nitro, and here it is on the last Nitro, and Sting goes over again. They hug and they embrace as the match ends.
And weren't they on the first Clash of Champions that TBS put on?
Yes.
And I was there. Sting blossomed in front of our eyes. But why wouldn't he have Ric Flair to carry him through? He's a very young boy at the time. So whatever worked the first time worked forever after that. When we were stuck, all you had to do was put Sting versus Flair, and you got a number and a house. They had certain magic.
Pretty crazy to think that WWF was even like, okay, Sting versus Flair is the match like they even wanted to put it on to make the WCW fans happy and kind of give them their one last hurrah. But I thought pretty cool. Like the WWF, like, yeah, Sting Flair should be the last match.
I think they were tipping their hat to Sting and Flair because they knew that they were going to go out and give the best match possible.
Yeah, pretty awesome. So then the final really closing segment is the simulcast between Nitro and Raw. Vince addresses the crowd in Cleveland and basically gloats about the Perfect, saying at WrestleMania 17 he wants Ted Turner himself to personally come out and sign the contract. Really kind of ripping into Ted, like, I bought WCW, and all this stuff. He's going on and on, being this big, boisterous heel. He starts naming guys like Luger and Buff and, like, who should I bring over? I think he was trying to get a feel for it, to who the crowd popped for. They popped for most of the guys. Buff got a pretty good pop. Then Shane McMahon cuts off. He's in Panama Beach, Florida. He reveals that he bought WCW and that the name on the contract does read McMahon, but it reads Shane McMahon. Pretty nice little swerve there. Pretty nice surprise that, okay, Vince technically, storyline-wise, doesn't own WCW. Shane does, and that was going to be the feud, and Vince and Shane were going to have their match WrestleMania 17, WWF versus WCW. That was the start of the invasion angle. But as a fan, you know Shane McMahon is WWF through and through. You know Stephanie is. It just didn't come off as legit.
Yeah, and I understand what they tried to do, but could you imagine if they didn't say that and they brought the WCW guys over, they did some kind of angle. I don't know what the angle would be off the top of my head, where Vince signing a bunch of papers, just signed to that, no big deal, blah, 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 and he signed it over to Shane, and Shane went to the guys and said, hey, listen, I don't like how what my father did, the way he did it, but you guys with me now. I think they could have created a longer storyline, but I also understand that maybe because of the hostilities with WCW and WWF at the time, that Vince was watching out for his brand. I think Shane McMahon is a great performer. Stephanie is a great performer. Vince was the top heel of the business for a long time. I think they could have got a little bit of a run out of it, but who knows?
It was like a cool thing, I guess, for the night, but it was like, all right, put WCW, okay, this is the direction they're going to go, but they didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah, I think they were done, as the English say, done and dusted. They got it what they wanted, and they wanted to go on from there.
Did you get contacted again about working for WWF? And, like, did they want you to be a part of creative? And was it after the purchase?
It was well after the purchase, because I had just signed a 3-year contract, like, the month before. So I was home.
Did you ever really want to work there, though? Probably not, right?
I had just opened the gym, and I had a lot of money invested in that gym. I bought the land, knocked the building down, built the building from scratch, had to buy the equipment outright because I was a standalone gym. So if I had bought a loan for the equipment, which was right at $300,000, I would have had to pay 30% interest. I happened to know the guy that was the owner of Precor, and he gave me a 30% discount. And that's unheard of in the gym business, because most standalone gyms only last like 4 months, and then they take the equipment back and refurbish it and sell it as slightly used, make money both ends. So I had a lot involved, and I just didn't have the time. And probably what I asked for was not what they wanted to hear. And I have no regrets, because the gym was very good to me and my family. I also believe that fate plays a lot of things. If you went there, your whole life has changed in a different way. So I wouldn't have got to do what I got to do.
It wasn't as good as it was when there was competition with WCW. It's almost like, yeah, they killed WCW, but they almost killed the business for a while, too, and really killed a lot of fans' passion for the business, because if there's 3.0 amount of people, if there's 3 million whatever plus people watching WCW, WCW has 5 or 6 million or whatever the amount is, they should have had nines or eights or some huge amount on the show. But you could tell people were just WCW fans and didn't transfer over.
Are you a comic book fan?
Yes.
Are you Marvel or DC?
Honestly, I was always more of a Marvel guy, just because I love the X-Men and stuff, but I always loved Batman. So I would probably lean Marvel, but I did like Batman.
Okay. I was a DC guy all the way. I was a big Hawkman fan. I was a guy that bought the obscure superheroes. Hawkman, Flash, Green Lantern, the Green Arrow, John Jones from Mars. And I don't think I ever bought a Marvel because I felt like I was cheating on my team. You know what I mean? And I think that had something to do with it, John. People that were WCW fans had been indoctrinated and just didn't transfer over.
It seemed like a great move business-wise, and he made so much money off the library. He only bought over $4 million. However, how the hell he got that? Jamie Kellner should have been fired immediately.
When we were on our winning ways, we started to do things that were not advantageous to the company.
So this Night of Champions, this final Nitro, was actually the second to last WCW broadcast because they had a worldwide show that finally aired on March 31st, 2001. Just looking back, though, what did you kind of think about just the final Nitro and the end? Was it bittersweet or was it just bitter that it ended?
Well, for me, it was kind of bitter because I had such a good time with being there. But nothing lasts forever.
Well said.
Mr. Sullivan, it's been an absolute honor doing the show with you for the past 4 years. How do you want to be remembered?
That I was good to my family.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you, Kevin.
Knife edge chop. Oh! No effect at all! Sting! Almost 20 square to hit him again! Look at Flair fade off one more time. Sting back to the corner. Going to work. We've seen it so many times. God, we love it. Each and every moment. Oh, Flair upside down. Sting on the attack. Who's going to win this final match here on Monday Nitro on TNT?
Superplex.
Is it Sting with a superplex? Yes. He got it down. What's Sting going to do now? Scorpion Superplex. He's got it on! He's got it on! Center of the ring! It's over! It's over! It's Sting! Sting wins! Sting defeats Ric Flair here on the final telecast of WCW Monday Nitro on TNT. And look at that! My God, he's going to help him up in an embrace! This is what we're all about!
Sting knows that Ric Flair made him at that Clash of the Champions. That's ultimate respect!
It really is.
For two men, I have to say that I am huge fans of. They make me continue to be fan of professional wrestling. Thank you, Steve Borden. Thank you, Ric Flair, for everything you've meant to this sport.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.
Today's episode of the Pozcast is brought to you by A Wrestling Historian. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram for your latest dose of pro wrestling history. Follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today. follow A Wrestling Historian on Instagram today.